This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I always say with this guy, you think you love football. He loves football more than you. Coach Riz,
like
Cleveland.com, joining us here on The Fan. Coach, how are we doing today?
Gentlemen, how are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Hopefully the last weekend I can talk to you before we can actually play real golf. We can get we're so close. I'm so agitated that the weather is teasing us. But I know you're a big golfer yourself, and so we got maybe 7 or 8 days, Coach. We can get out there.
Well, you know, it teased us right early in the week. I'm thinking it's time to get the clubs out, get them clean, get ready to roll, and then all of a sudden we're snowing again. And I was like, my goodness, I just want to get to the range. I just want to start swinging.
I could tell. I mean, you being a former quarterback yourself, you got to be a range rat, right?
Oh, I love going to the range. There's nothing better throwing in some buds and hitting balls for an hour or two. It's the best.
And it's one of my favorite things. The problem is that I feel like I play golf swing more than I play golf. I do the range. I do that way more than I actually get to play real golf. And it's not great for me, Coach.
Well, you know, you can't waste all your good swings at the range. And that's kind of what happens with me is that I'm usually fairly solid at the range. And then I get to the course and it doesn't always carry over like it should.
Story of my life.
Yeah, I'm like 10 cup with a 7-iron at the range. And then you get on the course. It's a different story. All right, Coach, let's dive into this. Myles Garrett, obviously, we've been talking all day long about the big news. He didn't have the meeting with Jimmy Haslam. I don't think it's the end of the world. I look at it more like Jimmy's trying to divorce himself of this decision and put more of this onto the lap of Andrew Berry. How do you see the latest development as Myles Garrett continues to express a desire to not play for the Browns?
Well, no, listen to you guys earlier. It's a big thing when he said he's going to start missing games, right? So that was kind of like this is no longer like a just out there trying to get, ruffle some feathers. This seems like it's a real deal with Myles. And it feels like now Andrew Berry was saying that Andrew Berry is now the guy that they're going to, fall on if something was to go bad, right? Either way, they're going to put the pressure on Andrew Berry. The thing that I always think about if I'm Kevin Stefanski is that as a coach, regardless of what happens here, if you're on Myles' side, if you're not on Myles' side, is that you're trying to win football games. And this is creating a toxic environment in the locker room and at practice and how you run things. And when you talk about the most overused word, in football is the word culture. And culture is what you repeatedly do. It's not what you repeatedly say. So I just think with the Browns right now, they're just in a toxic environment that they have to clean up before they can start talking about scheme and personnel. They have to clean this up and get on the right path and get everybody involved in the right path. And it doesn't seem like they're doing that right now.
Lance, until today, though, I just never envision a world where Miles would miss games. And maybe he still doesn't. It's only March 7th. Like, what you say now isn't sworn testimony. It doesn't mean that he won't actually suit up eventually. But, is that hard to wrap your head around as much as it's been for me that Miles would actually sit out games? And could you see him doing that this fall?
Well, once again, the Miles is a different animal, right? He's a different character than a lot of these guys in the NFL. He doesn't really characterize himself as a pro football player. He's an eclectic guy. He has lots of likes. So when he says it's not about money, he's like one of the few guys you go, yeah, it might be the case with Miles. But it was shocking, and it's shocking that he's gone the route in terms of, I think the way he thinks he can maybe get out is try to be the villain. And if you're the villain, then they got to get rid of you. And regardless, like I said, regardless of how this ends, this is not a good look when you're trying to win games. And that's, for me as a coach, I'm thinking to myself, this has got to work out. It's kind of out of Stefanski's hands, but that's where they're at right now. They have to figure out how to get these guys all wanting to be here, because the only way it changes is, first of all, you got to build relationships, and then you got to go practice, and you got to get good at your craft, and that's what they're struggling with.
All right, Coach, let's get into some quarterbacks. I know you've done a lot of draft breaks down. We'll get to Shador. We'll get to Cam Ward in a moment. But we had Albert Breer tweeting out about an hour ago, Kirk Cousins asked for and got a meeting with the Falcons owner Arthur Blank on his future. And then Blank and Cousins had that meeting on Wednesday night. And he wants to go to a place where he can start in 2025. The Falcons brass, though, said it would do what's best for the team at quarterback. If Kirk Cousins comes to the Browns, if the Browns take a quarterback at number two, they're playing the quarterback at number two, right? Wouldn't Kirk Cousins not be an option then?
Well, I think about it, it's got to be, you know, what is the plan, right? If they have a plan where they want to get a guy in, and I don't know if Shador Sanders is like, I love Shador Sanders, and I think the perfect match is to have Kirk Cousins come in and play until he, I don't want to say he plays poorly, but plays until maybe Shador Sanders gets up to speed. Because Shador Sanders might not be an A, he might not be an A ever, but I don't think he's lower than a B or C. And what I mean by that is that the floor is pretty high. Cam Ward, on the other hand, you can get an A-plus or you can get an F-minus. So I think having Kirk Cousins, I think he's a perfect match. More than anything else, because in 2018, Stefanski's his quarterback coach. In 2019, he throws for 3,600 yards. But what it showed you in 2019, I went back and watched that some today, is that they had a back who had 1,000 yards. They had Diggs who had 1,000 yards receiver. They were really balanced. And Shador Sanders is a quarterback that you can win with. He might not ever be a guy you win because of, but that's okay if you put some pieces around him. And I'm a big believer. I still think, like, for example, the offensive line. I know they're older, but they're going to be better when they're back in this scheme. They're going to be better when they're running zone and pulling and being a little bit more physical. They're going to be much better when they get back into what they do. Yes, they're a year older. Maybe they're not in their prime. I think they got a new O-line coach who's really going to stress kind of being nasty again. So I think, it comes down to, I think Kirk Cousins is a great fit. For me, I think if you had Kirk Cousins and then Shador Sanders, now your quarterback room has some veteran leadership and a guy who I think has a really bright future in Shador Sanders.
Lance, I know you just mentioned Shador a bunch there, and you've told, I think JP and I both that he's still your top guy in this class. I guess I'm just curious, like, aside from the letter grades you were kind of handing out there in terms of, like, what they could be, why is it that Shador is still it for you, despite the fact that the NFL seems to be suggesting that Cam Ward is the better guy?
Well, for me, it's they decided that Kevin Stefanski is their football coach, and if you're going to go with the guy, your coach, and he's the leader, and then you got to – everybody's always said, well, the coach has got to adjust to the players, and that's true to a certain extent, but you can only fix what you know. And that's what Kevin Stefanski ran into, is he tried to do something he didn't know. So they got to go out, in my opinion. I think they're close enough where you got to go with the guy who's a better scheme fit. And within structure, Shador Sanders is very, very good. And what I mean by structure is 1-2-3, check it down, get rid of the football. Where Cam Ward is going to kind of give you that he's going to try to improvise and keep plays alive. And those quarterbacks are fantastic, but there's also a lot of room for error when you play like that. So for me, Shador Sanders just fits within the system of, again, he can throw in rhythm. The big thing I like about him, and I've said it, is I think anticipation and accuracy travel very well. It's like defense, right? So if you can anticipate and you can be accurate with the football, that helps your arm talent. When people say, what is his arm talent? Well, if you throw it on time, you increase your arm talent because you don't have to squeeze it in there because you know where the holes are going to be and you know where the windows are going to be. And I see a lot of that Shador Sanders, his ability to anticipate where windows are going to be. He had Pat Shurmur, so he learned a lot of those schemes, those high lows, the ins outs, all the stuff that the NFL runs. He ran a lot of that at Colorado. He also had terrible pass protection and got his you-know-what handed to him every single game and stood in there and fundamentally stayed solid. I just think he's only going to get better as he gets into a system, has a little bit better protection, gets a run game going. Now, once again, I don't think he's a guy who throws it 50 times, but I think a guy within a system, he can be outstanding. And I think that would be Stefanski's system, that structured, on-time, rhythm-type passing game.
Coach Riz joining us here at 92.3 The Fan. Of course, Coach Riz at Cleveland.com, and I was just reading your most recent where you talked about running back options for the Browns. How does this running back room look? And take me into the idea that, let's say the Browns take either Shador or Cam Ward at number two. Are they drafting a running back at 33? Are they drafting a running back in the third round? How does this look even with Jerome Ford? What's the mix? What's the match here?
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, you know, I think they got to find, if they're going to go back to this bully ball, like I like to call it, Stefanski's old offense, kind of bully ball, where they're going to run it regardless of what you have in the box. And that's a mentality. That's an identity. They didn't care about numbers. They didn't care about if there was overhangs. They were running the football directly at you. So you got to think about, you know, I love Travion Henderson and I love Junkins. There's some guys I really like, but they got to get some guys who are forward leaners, right? Guys who get you to second and four. I've said it all the time that staying above the sticks and getting to second and four, second and five, that makes you a better quarterback because now you're not stressed to throw the ball. You have a run pass option, and not the run pass option as a play, but you can run it or throw it based on the down and distance. That helps a quarterback a ton. So they got to get a guy who maybe not hit the home run. That's what Ford, I thought, got a lot better last year, but he's kind of an all or nothing guy, right? He's going to give you 60 or he's going to give you two. Well, second eighth a lot different than second six. So these guys like Jensen and these guys like Caleb Johnson and Omari Hampton, these guys who are big, heavy guys, they give the Browns an opportunity to stay ahead of the sticks, get to second five. That helps your quarterback because then the defensive linemen can't pin their ears back and come get you because it's third and 10. That's what they run into so much this year. It just kills them.
Obviously, I think it's safe to say, Lance, that the offensive line for the Browns took a step back this year. But I think there's also context to that that's important in understanding what type of offense they were running. They were trying to cater, obviously, to Deshaun Watson, and it just didn't work well. And guys like Joe Bitonio and Jack Conklin talked about that a little bit. So I guess I ask you, with your expertise on this, what does going back to Kevin Stefanski's offense mean for this offensive line and how successful they can or can't be next year?
Well, first of all, it's all about attitude, right? So if you went down and watched practice, when Callahan was here, You would not think those guys are all pros. It was like a high school practice. He is a drill sergeant. He got after those guys. So first and foremost, what they have to do offense line wise is get back to the identity of, I don't care what the numbers are. I don't care what the techniques are. I don't care what they're doing defensively. We are running the ball vertically. We're going to vertically displace those defensive linemen, and we're coming at you regardless of what you do. That's an identity. So they got to get back to that identity. You know, then you talk about the weak side zone where they're going to run it to the guard and tackle side. They've had a ton of success with that. But the thing they really, really do well is they pull those guards, right? So they're going to create great angles up front. You can run it against any front. But once again, it's more of a gap scheme where you're not worried about kind of what the defense is doing. You're stepping with your near foot towards the center, and you are getting off the ball with an attitude. And that's really what it comes down to. It's the scheme is one thing. So they're going to go back to more power, more pin and pull, more counter, things like that. But they're going to go back, I think, more to the mentality of, we're going to run the ball, so figure it out, because, you know, root them out of there, because we're going to run it regardless of what's in there. That's what I think you'll see. You'll see more 12 personnel, more 13 personnel, so they'll add some guys in there. So if the defense is going to bring six or seven, that's okay. They're going to have 13 personnel or 12 personnel, and then they can, you know, get some extra hats in there. So I think it's the scheme along with the identity that they once had.
Coach, I checked my weather app. I'm declaring it not this Saturday. The following Saturday will be the first golf Saturday of the year for me. 61 degrees the high.
Isn't it like 14 days is a little too far out, though, don't you
it's
think?
It's not great, but 61 is the high. Low of 51. It's going to be windier than if I was playing in the British Open. But you know what? Who cares, Coach Riz?
What's the lowest temperature you'll go? What's your cutoff? You have a cutoff?
Yeah, I have a cutoff. 45 is my cutoff, and right. I will not ever push it further than 45 either. I like 50 to be the real cutoff. I'm sure you're around that ballpark too.
Oh, I'm 50 and above. It's got to be. And as I get older, the numbers increase. I got to be honest with you. I sit out in the rain for years as a coach and a player. I don't know. I'm not real big on the rain, and I'm for sure not big on the cold. So 50 is my 50 with no wind and sun out is about as low as I'll go for sure.
Our friend Danny Cunningham was trying to get me to go out and play winter golf with him like a couple months ago. He goes out in the snow. It's 20 degrees.
What does he wear?
20 degrees. He'll go out and golf. It's incredible. And I always think to myself, like, 1 year I'm going to do it. But the problem is that if I liked it and I enjoyed it, that's not a good development for me.
What the hell do you wear to do that?
You figure it out.
Like a big puffy coat?
You figure it out.
You dress like the people trying to scale Everest or something like that?
Someone told me, Coach, the Metro Parks had 8,000 rounds played in January and February. Wait, this has been winter, Coach. It's been horrible. Absurd.
It's been freezing. And I have some friends that I work with that try to get a round in, at least one round in every month of the year. Like, when did you do that in February? It was zero all February, and they went out. I'm not doing that. I'm kind of at the age now where I want really ideal conditions for when I'm playing. I want it no wind. I don't want a lot of water. I don't want a lot of woods. I want to be able to spray the ball a little bit and not get penalized for it. That's kind of what I'm looking for at my age.
There's a good lane here for golf courses to, like, try to put the simulators out of business and just be like, be a man. Come play winter golf. Come get your winter jacket with our logo on it.
Your grandpa would.
He'd be very disappointed in you.
Don't be soft, society.
He's rolling over in his grave knowing they're not playing winter golf.
Coach Riz has got to be one of the toughest people I know. And if he's like, it's too cold for golf, I think we can all just come to that realization.
Agreed.
Coach, appreciate you. Good insight. We'll check you out at cleveland.com as we always do. Thank you, friend.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
All right, you too. That's Coach Riz right there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We come on back. We have to react to this report from Albert Breer about Kirk Cousins. And also, does it feel like the Shador Sanders slander has now subsided? 216-474-0092. Afternoon Drive right here on the Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.